The Guardian.
World Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
World Cup Football Daily, and it's Saturday's action. The rumble in the jungle. Italy clicking on the Amazon could mean England get delivered to their home by Thursday. Elsewhere, Eureka from Costa Rica as Joel Campbell go top of group against a Uruguay side that looked a little bit toothless without Luis Suarez. With a big Colombia win against Greece to round off the Saturday action, it's on to Sunday. What's up then? Well, only Switzerland, Ecuador, France, Honduras, and Argentina against Bosnia-Herzegovina in the Maracanã. Woof. 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 It's a bit sweaty here in Manaus. Woof. The humidity.
I'm being scourged by mosquitoes.
Yeah. And ants.
Yeah.
They're crawling all over the place. They're coming out of the walls.
I think that's just because I hadn't had a drink for 3 days.
It's true, actually, listeners. Barry really hasn't. Anyway, Barry's here. James Horncastle's here. And I'm very much here. And it's welcome to the jungle on the night of what's been a pretty exceptional game. I'm not sure how neutrals will feel about maybe the last half hour of it. But the first hour was sparkling stuff. Barry, I'm talking about England, Italy, of course.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that game. It was sort of played at a slower pace than most of them thus far. But I mean, I've just been listening to various pundits and players saying that England can take a lot of positives out of this, and they can. It was a brave selection by Roy Hodgson. He picked Raheem Sterling, who was excellent for England. But the fact of the matter is, they lost. And they talked the talk going into the game, and not even their personally bespoke iced tonic beverages were able to help them through. You know, I was looking at various England players, 5, 6 maybe went down with cramp throughout the game. One Italian went down. Andrea Pirlo, 35 years old, he didn't suffer from cramp, but then he barely broke above walking pace as usual. And England have put themselves under huge pressure now. A draw probably wouldn't have been an unfair result, but the fact of the matter is, once again, they lost, and the same old failings were on show. Can't defend set pieces properly. Wayne Rooney yet again failed to score in a World Cup match despite having some good chances, and I will concede his assist was excellent and he was playing it out of position, which must be taken into account, but that when he should have been protecting Leighton Baines, and you know it's not his forte obviously, but that England just got ripped apart down that side repeatedly, and that's where Italy's winner came from.
By the young Damian, ripped apart by the young Damian, who was one of the outstanding performers for the Azzurri this evening, James.
Darmicon, yeah, that's what we've been called. But yeah, I mean, it's not the first time that sort of technical indiscipline from Rooney has been part of England's undoing against the Azzurri, because, I mean, he was meant to be picking up Pirlo the Euro 2012 and didn't do it. And you could say he was meant to be picking up Damian today and didn't do it. That's perhaps harsh, but our producer Pete was talking during the game about, you know, maybe Roy should be courageous enough to drop Rooney for the next game. I do to some extent agree with Hodgson that there are some positives to take. I don't think Italy...
It was a lot better than the last England performance against Italy, no?
And, yeah, absolutely. I think they created more chances in the first half than they did in 120 minutes of that game. And Italy, even though they did have this doppio play, this double playmaker system, and they to some extent controlled possession, they didn't always control the play. And I thought England did look a threat, particularly on the counter. I mean, the goal was sort of symbolic of the danger that they can pose, you know, in terms of that quick release.
It was a great goal by England, and they did boss the flanks going forward, you know. But when defending, and Italy were coming at them down that right wing, they looked hopelessly exposed. Antonio Candreva was absolutely superb.
Yeah, I Italy actually won this 2-1, and I feel we should dedicate a little bit of time to them, because I thought they had some absolutely outstanding performances from players you really weren't expecting. First of all, Gigi Buffon, who's been one of the totems of the side, was out, and I think they'd lost their last five internationals without him. So Sirigu had a lot of pressure on him.
Yep.
Damian, relatively an unknown player, not even that big in Serie A this season, had a fantastic performance. Candreva, who's not shone for Italy in that position, did brilliantly.
Yeah,
and this fellow Pirlo, who they seem to have found.
Yeah, who is he? I think England paid little regard to him in the build up to this game.
What about his free kick?
Yes.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, that was.
I mean, what about Balotelli's lob just before half time, where he almost caught out Hart? That was that. If that had gone in, that
but it was an interesting clash of styles, wasn't it, between the Italians and the English, and the pace as well. The differing paces, differing approaches to the game, fascinating.
Yeah, well, I think Italy, this system is very much a work in progress, but it had the desired effect tonight to some extent. I mean, like you were saying, there are players like Candreva, for example, who, you know, many people looked at the position he was playing and thought, why is he doing that? Against Luxembourg, it didn't come off, but tonight, I mean, he was pulling Leighton Baines inside from Baines' left and his right, creating that space for Damian. And as Barry said, the goal came from that. He also hit the post. And I think Prandelli's thinking in playing, you know, Marchisio and Candreva out wide is because, you know, they do come in the middle. They're central midfielders. They pull people out of position. And they're players who, for their clubs, you know, break into the box and score goals. They're very difficult for defenders to pick up. And Marchisio scored. Candreva assisted a goal. You can say that attack functioned rather well.
Right, Italy completed 92.2% of passes against England, highest pass percentage by any team in a World Cup game since 1966, according to a stat I read on the internet. Oh, that's a remarkable stat if it's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's a credit to Prandelli, because I mean, we have associated Italy prior to his tenure beginning 4 years ago with, you know, counter-attacking football, and yet we see an Italy side which plays possession football really rather well. You know, with
that counter-attacking goal was quite special as well, though, wasn't it?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It seems harsh to be quite so critical of England though as well, because just looking down the list of the players that played, no one stands out as having had a bad game. Just Italy were
not
better.
Even Leighton Baines.
I don't think there's a huge amount he could have done about, you know. He had to choose whether to stick or twist, and because he wasn't being afforded any protection, you know, he couldn't really do right for doing wrong, if you know what I mean.
Right, indeed. What happens next then? How far, based on that, do you think this Italy might reasonably expect to go? They've got Costa Rica up next, and we're going to talk about their game against Europe. Did you see the Costa Rica-Uruguay game?
Yes.
Yeah.
And England no one's going to have it easy against Costa Rica.
Right, well, then they're now top of the group.
Yeah. On goal difference, yeah. No, they were very impressive. We'll talk about them later.
We'll talk about it now, if you like. Costa Rica with a fantastic second half performance against a desperately ponderous looking Celeste.
I think ponderous is exactly the word I'd use to describe them, actually. It's a good choice of adjective. And Costa Rica going forward were just lightning quick and are going to pose problems, certainly for an Italy defence that can be fairly ponderous itself at times, and I think they'll give England plenty of problems as well.
Three terrific goals in that game. Not sure which you... the last one from Ranio, where he, the goalkeeper's rushing out and he has to put it square, but he puts it just not square enough for it to creep in at the far post. Magnificent. I think that was Ranio's goal, wasn't it? Joel Campbell, a lot of people getting very excited about him, especially Arsenal fans, Barry.
Yeah, they're quite possibly hopeful Arsene Wenger may put in bid for him this summer.
Right.
He was excellent.
Bring him back.
He is an Arsenal player.
I am aware of that.
Just checking. Yeah. Bid for him. Right, okay. A Jimbo third man says Costa Rican havoc. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I mean, they scored three goals. All of the ones were sort of, there's some variation to their play. They're missing their top scorer, I think, through qualifying. Yeah, he suffered the sort of dreaded metatarsal injury, Saborio, just before the tournament. So to produce that kind of performance, I think wasn't a surprise, because Prandelli, for example, has been talking them as being in a sort of a trap game, in that, yeah, they could be a banana skin.
Oh, I see.
They're being underestimated by outside observers, because this group is seen as a group of death with, you know, three former World Cup winners in it, and then Costa Rica, when, yeah, I think Costa Rica perhaps deserve more respect than that.
Thursday, anyway, Costa Rica take on Italy. And Uruguay will be up against England. And I guess a lot of the attention between now and then is going to be about Luis Suarez, who didn't feature in this game against, unless he came on at the end, did he?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
And who got red carded? Somebody got red carded.
Maxi Pereira.
All right. How much is that going to affect them?
Well, I mean, their defence is woeful. I mean, apart from Diego Godin, the Atletico Madrid defender who scored a number of goals from set pieces, I mean, that could be where they pose a threat. Lugano looks shot. I mean, I think Pereira, Muslera is a very flaky goalkeeper for me. He's one of those who alternates the extraordinary with just, you know, the incredible kind of howlers. So I don't know. I mean, Cavani for me, when he's playing at international level, doesn't have the same influence that he does when, you know, particularly when he's playing for Napoli. He scored a penalty today. His record from them is actually quite poor, but yeah, I think Suarez is the main difference maker for that team, and I suspect there will be some pressure to rush him back.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? It's going to be an interesting game. That possibly just the match that England need to pick themselves up and dust themselves down and get back on track in this World Cup.
Yeah, I think if England play as well as they did against Italy, they should win. If Uruguay, you know, if they both put in similar performances, I would fully expect England to win. And, you know, they've lost the game, they lost their opener, and probably would have deserved a point. But, you know, it's not the end of the world. I'd be interested to see what the reaction is in the papers and online later tonight and tomorrow.
After we finish watching Ivory Coast Japan.
Pardon?
After we finish watching Ivory Coast
Japan. Yeah, could be a long night.
Yeah. All right, good. Now, also in Saturday's action, there was a Group C game played early, which was the Colombia-Greece game. And from the anthem onwards, this was just Colombia's day. It was extraordinary.
Yeah, I mean, they played outstanding football, I thought, considering they've lost Falcao. I know they've got lots of depth in that sort of forward position, but at the same time, of the strikers they have available, I don't think many people were expecting him to play Gutierrez. And he scored. I think they've got great players out wide in Ibarbo and Cuadrado, both of whom play in Serie A. And James Rodriguez, you know, he's kind of justified his price tag that Monaco paid for him. I don't want to use the word dark horses anymore, but I think they showed that they are a legitimate contender and can sweep this group.
Right.
I mean, bear in mind, Greece conceded 4 goals in 10 games in qualifying. They're a very strong defensive side. And for Colombia to put in 3 against them is quite an achievement, you know. I think probably the fact that they scored so early may have rattled Greece a lot, because they probably weren't expecting that. They probably weren't expecting to concede till about the second half of the third group game.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. And that's still no goals for them in how many games is it now, the World Cup, Greece, that they haven't scored in?
I don't know.
I think it'll be lots. Almost all of them. We think maybe they once scored in 94.
I think maybe against Nigeria.
Yeah, but not since then. Yeah. Whereas Colombia...
It was quite interesting on BBC's coverage. Neil Lennon was one of the pundits, and he really got stuck into poor old Georgi Samaras, who did not have a particularly good game. He looked quite good going forward, but he missed several chances, one of the goals was all his fault, where he failed to mind his area of zonal marking at a corner and let someone nick in front of him at the near post. So yeah, Lennon was noticeably critical of his former Celtic charge.
Well, there you go. Colombia sail on then. Greece with one or two problems, and the other game we haven't seen yet, and we'll have to talk about that, I guess, on Sunday evening, what Ivory Coast do with Japan, unless, Pete, you want us to record 3 versions. But I don't know what time you're going to finish here.
Of course, England do have a huge injury concern as well. There's Gary Lewin.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Lewin situation.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
It was, wasn't it?
For anyone who may not be aware of it, once England had scored, they charged over to the bench for a big celebration. There was a pile-up, and then it quickly became apparent that England's physio was at the bottom of the pile and had seriously injured his ankle.
So it'd be worth an ironic chuckle if it wasn't a desperately painful situation for Miss Loon.
Yes. I must admit, I did chuckle, and I immediately felt guilty about it, but yeah, it's just... You know, he couldn't make it up, really. But he was stretchered away, and it turns out he's a dislocated ankle.
Oh, dislocated.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's him out for the tournament or if England are allowed to draft in a new physio.
I don't know. I'm still not entirely clear on how he dislocated his ankle in a...
Well, I don't know. Maybe it just went from under him in a...
Apparently it went. It was in celebration, was it not?
Well, yes. Mm. It was just after the goal.
Yeah, but I don't know if they... crowded and jumped him or whatever, but or he just fell over. But
well, I don't know.
There was one other thing actually that just crossed my mind there, and I'm going to sound like a total Grinch, even worse than usual. But when you're playing in that humidity and that heat, you know, and I know scoring a goal at a World Cup when you're goal down must be, you know, what a fantastic thrill and feeling, and you're surging on adrenaline. But is it wise to waste precious energy celebrating a goal that emphatically or vociferously or whatnot?
I don't know. But I suspect that half the beauty of football is the fact that the heart overtakes the head in a lot of these moments.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't expect everyone to sort of, you know, just gentlemanly handshakes from the black and white days.
But Sturridge did his dance, didn't he? I don't know how many calories and...
I have no idea. Yeah, I do just sound like a Grinch.
Yeah. Well, that was Saturday. What a crazy day of football it was. Sunday looks pretty intriguing as well. It's coming up after this.
World Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
Ooh, here's a quick post. Sugarbush Record says, is it too late to sum up Spain's night the other day as tiki-caka? Tiki-caka. Yeah. Ooh, and somebody else is pointing out, Barry, that you were absolutely spot on when you said that you've already gone on record as Spain going out at the group stage. Your other bets were, well, your bets were Spain to go out of the group stage, Chile for the semi-final, Hulk and Alexis Sanchez for Golden Boot. Interesting. Very interesting. Anyway, what a terrific tournament it's been so far. I think everyone's pretty happy.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out, actually, that also I predicted last night that I think two out of three games today would be really boring.
But you did say you thought Italy would win.
Yeah.
Well, I was busy naysaying and that.
There's been more goals at this stage of a World Cup since 1982.
Do you know how many per game?
No. You're going to tell me.
3.57 goals a game, 25 goals in 7 matches. Remarkable, no? Now, Barry, do tell us, what's going to happen in Switzerland-Ecuador, being played Sunday in Brasilia, France-Honduras, which is going to be down in Porto Alegre, and, of course, the big one at the Maracanã, Argentina against Bosnia-Herzegovina.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Switzerland play.
All right.
Now, they've been unlucky in that they have to play in places that are hot and sweaty. They have a game in Brasilia tomorrow, and they have a game in Manaus as well. And when we've seen how difficult that can be for pale Europeans.
Well, as long as they don't celebrate their goals too much.
Yeah, well, yeah. And scoring goals has always been a problem for them at World Cups. I suspect it may not be too... You know, they've always been very solid in defence, but now I think they have players...
Josip Drimic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Going forward, who, if their forwards can start scoring goals, which has been a problem for Switzerland before, I think, and I'm, like James, loath to use the word dark horse, I think they could go a long way.
Well, they could. Tell us about Drimic again, then.
Yeah, had a great season with Nuremberg in the Bundesliga. Some of his goals, I recommend you check out, because his touch in bringing the ball down is quite exceptional. He's linked heavily with Arsenal. But he went to Bayer Leverkusen at the end of the season. So, yeah, like Barry says, I think he could be their main goal threat.
Well, they have a canny coach in Ottmar Hitzfeld.
Mm-hmm.
They've got seven members of their expected starting 11 play for a top six club in either Italy or Germany this past season. So he's not the only kind of top caliber player. They were unbeaten in their qualifiers, winning 7 and drawing 3, and they're in the current FIFA World Top 10 rankings.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have kind of turned their noses up at that and said, oh, it's just an indictment of the FIFA rankings. But they've earned it, I think, and they have got a really good ensemble together. You know, they've got as many, approximating sort of young players as Belgium have. You know, you think of Jan Sommer, Fabian Schär, Shaqiri, Xhaka, you know, Drimmich. Yeah, the list goes on. I agree with Barry. Their schedule is really hard because they're not only playing in these hot and sweaty places, they're playing at the time when it's hottest and sweatiest.
Oof.
Yeah.
All right, tune in for that one then.
They've got a very young side, a lot of players in their early 20s. And their defence is so good. I mean, they've conceded one goal in 7 matches at the World Cup finals. Mm. They only conceded, I think, 6 in qualifying.
And they opened with the defeat of Spain, in the last tournament. So it's all very interesting. Ecuador, is this game going to be played at altitude?
I don't think
if it's not played at altitude, Ecuador won't win it.
It won't be probably as high as Quito or something.
No. All right, expect. Then. Bad news for Ecuador, who, of course, did recently have a 2-2 draw with England.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Oh, but you're both plumping for Switzerland on this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about France-Honduras? Have a bang on their anthems and see if that helps you towards a conclusion on this one. Oh, this is Fredonia, I think, isn't it? It's stirring stuff, this, and one can only hope that the stadium is filled with Honduras fans who will belt it out as they prepare to take on the French in this exciting game at the Estadio Berrio there in Porto Alegre. A lot of love for the French national anthem. We were talking about anthems the other day. A lot of people very excited about the French national anthem. A lot of people excited about the French national team at the moment. Although, having ditched Nasri, they've now lost Ribéry as well.
Yeah, which might not be such a huge loss.
Really?
I don't think he's ever really pushed on international level to be the sort of successor to Zidane. I know they're different players, but in terms of being the sort of technical leader on that team, I don't think he's ever really done it consistently enough for France. That might have changed in the last couple of years, but I think they've got other good players in his position, like Griezmann, for example, plays for Real Sociedad, scored 16 goals this season. Part of that, I think he was part of... I know he wasn't because he was banned.
You were going to say the under-20
yes,
World Cup winning
team. Mm. He's a fresh face with a good attitude, unlike that sort of Nasri, Menez, Benzema generation.
Well, sans Ribéry, they did beat Jamaica 8-0 before the start of this World Cup.
But England beat Jamaica 6-0, was it, before the, which World Cup was that? 2006, 2010? Yeah, bit of a misnomer.
Mm. All right, then.
But in that game, I think Giroud was playing centre-forward and Benzema was in the Ribéry position.
Right.
I mean, I'm not confident as James is to officially state for the record that I think Frank Ribéry is useless. But I don't think he didn't play particularly well this season, did he? And
so, I mean, he is the current European Player of the Year UEFA voted. He's not the
Ballon d'Or.
Not the Ballon d'Or winner. I think he was the best player in the Champions League last year. That's okay. The award he got. As Rafa will tell you, deserved. You know, someone who just consistently pummels his fullback. But he's the sort of game changer, decisive player.
Right. But he's got a back problem anyway, and supposedly refused to take the injection that could have enabled him to play on. But that might have been a sound medical decision. I don't know. He's not there. Honduras are. They are a hard hitting bunch. Judging on their performance against England the other day, anything else we can draw from that performance?
No, just that they're pretty fierce.
They like to get they stuck in. They bring the heat. Yeah. We mentioned the England game. They lost, meanwhile, in the three warm-up matches of the draw with England. Lost against Turkey and Israel.
Hmm. Right. I think I was reading Michael Cox's excellent tactical previews of the World Cup, and he cited Honduras, who I must confess is a team I don't know a great deal about, but he said they're tactically the most simplistic team in the competition. Is just get it to the wingers and try and cross it in.
We'll look forward to seeing them against France. Later that day, it will be Argentina-Bosnia. It's very exciting because it's the first time that the World Cup will visit the Maracanã. And it'll also be the very first Bosnia-Herzegovina game at the World Cup. So quite the occasion. Bosnia-Herzegovina swept through their qualifying campaign, topping their group as they suffered just one defeat in 10 matches and plundered 30 goals.
But...
ah.
Yeah, there's always a but, isn't there? Here I am to rain on your Bosnian parade.
Right.
Apparently, their manager has completely changed his approach. Ooh. Between qualification and...
being in the thing.
Being in the thing, in so much as in qualification, it was all out attack, a very attacking approach towards games. And perhaps because he's seen what they're up against in the group against Argentina in their very first game in the World Cup finals, he's sort of sacrificed a defender for a striker, so it looks like it'll be Edin Dzeko playing on his own up front, which is a role that might not necessarily suit him. And he had said he wouldn't sort of change his approach, but in the warm-up games he has.
Oh dear.
I think it's wise because, I mean, you look at that Argentina front line between them this season. Is it Aguero, Messi, Palacio, and who's the other one? Higuain.
Well, you've got Messi, Aguero, Lavezzi, and Higuain. You're going to say the stat about them together scoring over 100 goals.
112 goals.
112 goals.
Mm. And for all the sort of criticism of their defence, that it's their Achilles heel, apparently they've gone sort of 491 minutes without conceding. So
no,
maybe it's not the vulnerability that it's been made out to be.
Where is their weak point then?
Well, I thought it would be perhaps the goalkeeping position, because Romero hasn't played regularly for Monaco this season. We saw how Casillas, you know, who obviously was only playing in the Champions League, wasn't the number one for Real Madrid in La Liga. You know, how not playing regularly might have affected, made him rusty a little bit. So perhaps that might be a bit of a weakness. It's strange that they didn't bring Caballero, the Malaga goalkeeper, to the World Cup.
That is curious, isn't it? But then there have been several big-name exclusions from the Argentina squad under Sabella. Any chance that Bosnia-Herzegovina are going to derail one of the out-and-out favourites for this World Cup?
There's a chance, yeah.
Right.
Of course there is. Mm. It's going to be a very proud day for those players representing their country in World Cup finals for the first time.
Would you like to hear what their anthem sounds like?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, Simon Burnt, an occasional pod contributor,
right,
performed the, quite frankly, heroic task before the tournament of getting 32 different pop stars to review the 32 anthems.
Right.
He had such luminaries as Joe Dolce, Wigfield, Martin Fry from ABC, David Gray won a Goldie Looking Chain. You know, some big names, big names. And the results are on the... I've been putting some of them in my minute by minutes, the pertinent teams. Wigfield really worked really, really hard on her review of
did
the
she?
English national anthem.
Oh, what did she say then?
Well, she ended up comparing it to, like, lots of different anthems, which she seems to have got so absorbed in the task that she just spent her entire Saturday night.
I wonder what else she gets up to.
Which she used to spend, like, having a shower and walking around with her hair wrapped up in a towel and then doing whatever. I know what was going on in my head.
Reviewing national anthems. Yeah.
But she spent the Saturday night reviewing various national anthems. You know, I think Simon was sort of expecting 100 words scribbled on the back of a beer mat, but he got like a 400 word, very, very thorough review of the English national anthem.
Right. Well, no one who'd heard her noted her biggest hit, let's call it that, Saturday night, could ever doubt that she's a lady with a way with the words. So that is delighted to. I'm delighted to hear that she's a fan of God Save the Queen.
Maybe she should compose them. Right?
I don't think she was necessarily a fan.
Not a fan of it.
I don't think she actually, considering all the work she did, I don't think she actually said whether it was good or bad, or whether she liked it or not.
Because she's being polite. Well, there you go. I thought that sounded quite inspiring in a solemn and this is a big moment, dignified way, that Bosnia-Herzegovina. I do wonder, though, they're a new nation. Where do they get their anthem from? Do they dig up something that is generally popular? Do they commission something, perhaps, or have a televised TV vote-off?
Italians have written more national anthems than any other nation.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of nationalities have anthems written by them.
Very good. Well, that's Herzegovina and Argentina. And we look forward to that. Barry, your call? You've not had any action on Sunday's games yet?
No, it's just I've been doing really well with my predictions, right, and I don't want to get too many wrong.
Now, oh, I see.
Just throwing them out willy-nilly. I'm going to abstain from this.
All right. But the other two? What
I'll
did you say
on France? I'll go for a Swiss win over
Ecuador
and France. A comfortable France win over Honduras.
Ooh, okay. Well, you can see how Barry does when we return on Sunday night, Monday morning, with our review of the action there from, we'll be up to Group E, I think, at this point. So James, you're going to be with me tomorrow, I think.
Yeah.
Barry, I think you've got the night off.
I have, yeah.
Brilliant, okay. Well, I mean, you know, for you. Obviously not for us. we'll miss you. But look forward to seeing you again soon. And you too, listener. Many thanks to guest producer Pete. We'll be back on Sunday night.